ever tried watching your athlete's game from anywhere in the world? With Replayer, you actually can. I had a friend watch his son's game live from his flight. My son watched a live game from the car while we were driving up the California coast. It doesn't matter where you are, grandparents across the country, cousins on the other side of the world, teammates who just moved away, set up the camera, hit go live, and everyone with a link is right there on the sideline. Live streaming is free. Unlimited games, unlimited teams, unlimited users. No complex tiers. Everyone gets access. And forget waiting hours for footage. I recorded a 60-minute game, and it was ready in 5 minutes. Players were clipping highlights on the ride home. One camera, made in the USA, unlimited everything. If you never want to miss those moments, head to replayer.com. The link is in the show notes. Hey soccer friends, I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of TeamPlayer's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TeamPlayer.us. And come give TeamPlayer a look.
Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them.
And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order. Hello and welcome back to Chat by the Pitch. This is Ian Babcock, your host. This week, I have Charlie and Trip Neal. They are two brothers that help run the Dallas Trinity FC. They are some of the co-founders of the club. And I'm going to let them share more about what's going on in the club and what they are doing. And last week we had Amber, the captain. And this week we have some of the owners and the folks that run Dallas Trinity. So let's start this chat and head to the pitch.
My name is Trip Neal. I'm the COO and one of the founders of Dallas Trinity FC. It's a family affair, so that's why we say one of the founders. But background is I'm born and raised here in Dallas, Texas. I went to school at St. Mark's High School, played collegiate soccer. I've also played with the U.S. Deaf men's national team. And that soccer journey has taken me all over the world to compete in the Deaf Pan American Games, Deaf World Cup, and Deaf Olympics. It's also taken me into U.S. soccer, the organization. I've done a lot of work for USA Deaf Soccer Association, the nonprofit that helps deaf and hard of hearing kids and athletes get involved in the game of soccer and elevate their game. And business background that I have is in commercial real estate. So I'm an investment banker and I have been working for the last decade plus with my father at the business he started 30 years ago called Churchill Capital Company here in Dallas. And so we're really excited about this new venture, the Dallas Trinity FC, to what we're doing for the city of Dallas and the community and women's sports. We really want to see this thing take off and quite frankly, honor the long tradition of really talented female soccer players that come out of North Texas and give them something to be proud of.
I'm Charlie Neal. I'm Tripp's younger brother, first and foremost. And then, as Tripp said, one of the founders of Dallas Trinity FC, as it really is a family-run business. I'm president of the club, really as an early-stage company. Like, we all have our hands in just so many different areas of what's going on with the business. I, too, like Tripp, grew up here in Dallas, St. Mark's alum, really loved that experience, but then also a byproduct, like we both are, of at the time it was the Coca-Cola Classic League. So I played for Solar. I played for under Kevin Smith, who was belovingly called Smudger back in the day with the Dallas Sidekicks, and then ultimately with Horace Birtle with the Dallas Comets. And I think both are just so emblematic of our soccer ecosystem here in Dallas in particular, where you've got great soccer minds coming over here from overseas and just helping the youth development system become as great as it is today. I too then carried my career into college, played college soccer. I was a little bit different because I actually played baseball in college as well. So I'd split my life into kind of two seasons where that late half of the summer and then the fall were college soccer. And then kind of Christmas time, I'd put my cleats away and take my bat and glove out and play baseball in spring and early summer. That carried me into professional baseball after college and spent a couple of years in the minor leagues, living the Bull Durham life with long bus rides, cheap hotels, getting paid peanuts, as creative of in-inning entertainment options as you could imagine, banana races, everything that you're seeing the Savannah Bananas bring to life to right now. So it was fun, and then transitioned out of playing sports into kind of sports business. So I've been with Major League Baseball, I've been with the Texas Rangers, I've been in sports tech, and then ultimately here with Dallas Trinity, as Tripp said, trying to ultimately bring something great here to the city that has been deserving for a really long time of having a women's professional team to, you know, close the gap that, you know, a lot of young, talented women who've been raised in Dallas, played in the Dallas Academy systems, have never had the opportunity to fully strive for a dream to play in front of their hometown.
It's amazing how much the landscape has changed in the last, I'll probably say, 5 years. I've really been focusing for the last 5 years, 6 years in soccer and looking at how the landscape has changed, especially on the women's sides here in North Texas and even in the nation. We're seeing how many more teams pop up all over the country and seeing the game grow drastically here in the United States, very much so here in North Texas. So where are you all out of and where can we find your info? Let's start off with that right out of the gate.
But we're currently sitting in Farmers Branch right now, just north of 635 and east of 35. We got started with the vision for doing this team. It was very important to us that we do this team inside Dallas, looking at training facilities and club headquarters and things of that nature. Those are all hot topics that we're going through right now about how to do all that inside Dallas, just like our home venues.
Your matches being played at?
I mean, we play the Cotton Bowl, right? So that's the iconic venue that hosted the 94 World Cup, has hosted a ton of just historic sports and entertainment events across the years in the past inside Dallas. And it's one of the nicest pitches in the entire country. It's a phenomenal experience for our players and fans. When our fans get loud, what's great is it's a bowl, right? Cotton Bowl. So it just has this rumbling effect that's inspirational to be a part of. Obviously, it's one of the largest venues in the world, particularly for a women's pro sports franchise. But we've been pleased to see the fan interest and the engagement that from the community that's come out to support this club to start, and we hope to continue to grow that.
It's worth that we play, all of our games are streamed on Peacock. So even if you can't make it out to the Cotton Bowl, we hope everyone downloads, pays, subscribes to Peacock. It's the same service. You can watch the Olympics. You can watch the Premier League. You can watch Sunday Night Football. So it's been great for our league, which is a new league, to come in and be in a carousel alongside of the Manchester Derby. And most of our matches are on the weekends, and someone who may just have the habit of opening up Peacock to watch the Premier League or something else, the Super League's now right there. And so you can find Dallas Trinity FC alongside some of the historic clubs that many are fans of.
I enjoy that it's on Peacock, because that means I don't have to pay for another service. Won't point out at the men's side here in the United States, but that's a much harder pill to swallow at times for the seasons. With everything that you're doing with this game, with the women's side of the sport, how do you feel the Dallas market has treated you so far? Because we have quite the diverse sports here, and we're getting more and more diverse with more and more teams for soccer and cricket, football, baseball. There's several other pro sports here in the Metroplex. So how do you feel the DFW Metroplex is treating you?
I can take that one. It's been... to your point, it's a very crowded sports market, right? And I think it's a city of winners, and Dallas sports fans have very high expectations. They want to know that they're watching something that's important. But on the other side of that, I think everyone is striving and looking for family-friendly, affordable entertainment options. And to our peers' credit in the sports landscape, many have done so well that in a lot of ways, they've priced out some people in our market. It's just not as easy as it maybe was at one time to go to a professional basketball game, to go to a professional hockey game, a professional football game if you're a family of four or you've got a group of three or four friends. And we really have put a point emphasis of being, accessibility is a word that we say a lot, and we mean that in sort of multiple ways. One of the great things about being at Fair Park and being at the Cotton Bowl is you're right on the DART line. So folks can take the DART rail, get off at the Fair Park station, walk to the Cotton Bowl. And then to Tripp's point, one of the great things about the Cotton Bowl having so many seats is we've really priced it at a level where everyone can get introduced to the women's game and get an opportunity to be close to the field. And we put a point of emphasis to make sure there's time after the game so that fans can come down and get photos and autographs and be as close as they can to these amazing professional women. So to loop it back to your initial question of just how the market's receiving us, just overwhelmingly positive. It's, I think Tripp would agree, it's like very gratifying when, you play a match, win or lose, that you can see the smiling faces, the cheers of the kids, the parents feeling great that their young girls and young boys have a new set of role models to look up to and players to emulate and strive to be like. And so I think we've felt that there was a need for this for a long time, and we're certainly starting to feel that just from the audience and the following that we've even seen just in the first half of our season.
I think you touched on something that's important to me and my family, is being affordable. I can't tell you when last time I looked at a Cowboys game. I'm not trying to knock the NFL, but those tickets are expensive, and to have a seat and that's decent, you're going to be spending a good fortune for a family of four. I'm going to use that number because that's what my family is. We had season tickets to FC Dallas. I know your tickets are much less than them, much more affordable for a family to go and watch. And we are a big North Texas family soccer club, so we go support. And for $20 a game, you can go sit on the field. And you can't beat pricing like that. Looking at your prices, are comparable for I don't want to knock North Texas, but a second team. You guys are the first team, and your ticket prices are comparable for that. And I think families need to keep that in mind when they're looking at ticket pricing, when they're doing go watch a match. And like you said, you have the historical Cotton Bowl, and it's a beautiful stadium. Now, I am a big supporter of the DFW Metroplex, and I see that you have young players from the Metroplex here playing on your squad, which I think is amazing, because they're able to achieve their dreams to go play professionally starting at a younger age. Do you see yourself pulling more players from here, or are you guys going to continue, as I would call it, the hodgepodge of a team from all over, wherever you guys find the best talent to bring into your squad according to the recruiting requirements that you guys need?
Yeah, I think ultimately our long-term goal is to be one of the world's best clubs. And opening our season or opening our club up with our first ever match against FC Barcelona was just awe-inspiring in so many levels. One, for the players, obviously, to get that experience to play against World Cup winners and Champions League winners, right? That's in real time, not like watching them from the sideline or on TV. So that was great. But also just from an ownership standpoint, from a visionary standpoint of this is a team that didn't launch that long ago. It was within the last 10 years that they became a club and they've made it to the top. And so you can see that it's something that's possible. And so when we think about constructing the roster, it starts with good leadership, right? We have a general manager, Chris Petroselli, somebody who's been in and around the game, decades in the college game, spent plenty of time on the pro level, and has also spent some time on the national team level. Him involved with our club early on has been tremendous. He's also got roots to Texas. He's coached at the University of Texas and to Dallas. He coached at SMU. So that was advantageous as we plan out how we're going to build our staff and then how we're going to fill out the roster, right? So he did an excellent job of finding some great folks from Scotland, our head coach, Pauline McDonald, along with two of her assistants. And we've rounded out a really first-class staff from that perspective. And that's where it sets the tone for the players, right? Hey, someone thinking about signing with Dallas Trinity FC knows that they're going to get a first-class experience. They're going to get professional experience. Our head coach, I believe, maybe the only head coach who has a UEFA Pro license in the United States. I don't know if we have any other UEFA Pro licenses at the MLS or at WSL level, but that's one of the top licenses, as you can imagine, you can get in the world. They're getting a great experience. And then the beauty of being in Dallas and in North Texas is that we're a soccer-rich part of the world. We've got more players that play here than anywhere else in the world. And so we've got naturally more talent here or very competitive talent here. To the extent we can continue to take advantage of that and bring those folks on, that's part of the vision, right? Showing the fans here that and the aspiring young women and young boys too who want to grow up and play professionally that there's a pathway and there's a dream in front of you and go chase it, go do it. So at the end of the day, we're not pigeonholing ourselves into signing X percent of the roster from the North Texas region, X from the United States, and Y from the international group. But we want to build the most competitive roster that we can. And we've been very thankful that a big portion of that has come from the North Texas region.
Since we're doing this in mid-season of your first season, you guys are on the table, your eyes are in second place. And how do you feel moving for the first half of the season, how do you feel you all have done as a club providing to your players, making sure they're able to maintain that status for the first half and going into the second half of the season?
I guess I'll take two in a row here, Charlie. We've been very pleased with the performance from the staff and the players. Sitting in second place, brand new league, we were probably the last team to truly get launched. You look at the pipeline of USL Super League teams, the ones in the league today, as well as the ones that are trying to get into the league. A lot of those clubs have had years to prepare and plan and get ready. And so when the opportunity came across our plates, we didn't hesitate. We understood that, hey, this is going to move quick. And would we like to have years? Sure. But at the same time, we felt like we're in a marketplace that's going to just be super excited and roll with it as we go. And to be sitting in second is absolutely a remarkable success story for the club right now. I think our partners appreciate that. I think our fans appreciate that. I know the players are certainly excited about it. It's motivational for us as we go into the second half of the season. We've only lost one match at home, so we've done a good job of protecting our home turf there. And we want to continue to build off of those successes in the second half of the year and make the playoffs, hopefully host the game, and see how far we can take it from there.
I love it. I've watched several of your games now. I've taken my time and enjoy soccer as much as I can because it's great to watch. It's great to watch different coaching styles and time and enjoy soccer as much as I can. Next level, will you be able to work closely with the clubs that are here currently to help these players see the dream that is sitting right here in their backyard? Or are you finding different avenues to get that message out to the players in the community?
The clubs that, how do I put this? The existing clubs are instrumental to our success. And that, I mean that in two ways. Number one, they're probably our most avid fans right now, right? The we spoke to it earlier, the young girls, the young boys who are playing soccer, love soccer, and want to see as much soccer as they can, and getting introduced to the women's professional game, which are exciting, passion-filled, fast-paced, just great games overall to come to and watch live. Like, that's instrumental for us to be out on the weekends and showing that they're meaningful to us, going out to tournaments. We've been out to Classic League various weekends, just, and it's almost endless how many tournaments this Metroplex hosts on a weekly basis. But we want to be synonymous with all those things and have our Dallas Trinity FC tent there, and just educating the market on who we are, how great our players are, how much fun it is to get involved with DTFC. The other side, the technical side, the sporting side, we would have been, as crudely as it is, idiotic to think that we could have come in here and just started our own academy and done it, and just ignored all of the great progress and hard work that's gone into all the clubs that exist currently across our Metroplex, particularly on the women's side. And so one of the best things about the USL Super League is they've carved out 7 academy slots for every club. On a daily basis, you could come out to a Dallas Trinity FC practice and see current academy players that are playing for teams like Solar or teams like FC Dallas. And they're getting daily training experience with professional, fully professional women, which is great for their own development. And then you tail that onto that 5 of them can dress for matches and still keep their college eligibility. And we've actually had players that have contributed in a significant way. I think about Celie Strong, who scored a game-winning goal for us, and what an experience for her at a young age to score a game-winning goal at a professional level, knowing she's committed to the University of North Carolina, and how that can just even just enhance her own development and the confidence that must come from that. And so we're relying on the existing system. Like I said, these players are getting playing time, making an impact, and we're doing our best to make this a win relationship from both respects, and providing another step up from the clubs that are in, to where they can send their best players to Dallas Trinity FC and, to Tripp's point, be confident they're getting great coaching and great education and a player-friendly environment.
With the chance to bring in academy players from throughout the Metroplex, it sets you all apart. I know that the league is new and the club is new. Is the end goal to build your own academy, or is it the league's goal to build within the communities and use the clubs that are already involved so you can be heavily more involved versus just, I don't know, hoarding the players, so to speak?
Yeah, we get asked that question pretty frequently. And I think, alluding back to what I shared earlier, if we had a little bit more runway, we'd probably have a more robust answer. But the truth is, we're so focused on the right product at the professional level out for the community to enjoy and for the city of Dallas to be proud of. So that's where our mission lies right now. We are also in the camp of developing and strengthening our relationships with all constituents of the game in North Texas. The clubs that exist today are some of the best in the world, right? And they've won national championships at their levels and have provided players to the U.S. youth national teams who have gone on to play for the U.S. senior national teams. And so there's a lot of respect in what they've been able to do for the game and for players and player development, particularly out of our Metroplex. We don't have immediate plans to do a youth programming system right now. Our tentacles in the youth game are about growing those relationships with the existing clubs and strengthening that so that rises together with the professional team in the market.
I'm thinking through this process. Did you hold an open tryout this past year, or was it you had a draft and that's how this went through? Because me, I didn't pay much attention to how the team was formed. Now I have had curiosity because I watch all the reserve teams for North Texas Soccer Club. All the UPSL teams locally all have tryouts, and so does other USL clubs on the men's side. They have a tryout side also. So were you guys just able to go out and ask players to come join you this year because it is the inaugural season?
So short answer is we did not hold a tryout this year, in large part to Tripp's point. We're blessed to have Chris Petroselli as a general manager, and then with Pauline at his side. They had a pretty good idea of what they wanted the roster to look like and the players that were available. This is Division One, Major League, professional level women's soccer, right? So it's not often you would see on our men's counterparts the Cowboys or the Mavericks or one of those host an open tryout roster spots. Now, that's not to say that's not something that maybe we can think about going forward in the future. But like many things with our first season, there were so many balls in the air. We had to focus on what we could, and we were confident that the roster that Chris and Pauline and Tripp and the rest of the technical staff had really put together that was going to be a roster that is playing to the level that we had hoped being in second place. We're, as Tripp put it, we're so invested locally that it's not something I wouldn't say never, just because we're always looking for ways to continue to engage our local community here. But right now, the team is playing at such a great level. So we hope to continue that going forward.
No, I wasn't trying to knock the league. I was just trying to understand, like, going forward, because I know this is the inaugural season. So everything, comparing it to National Women's Soccer League, they have a draft and all that fun stuff. And I find how every league makes themselves unique is so critical for the fan base to understand.
And it's a great call out. And so the Super League does not have a draft, which we personally love because it's a player forward, player first league. And so players have their choice. And like any other sort of market, the clubs are forced to best position themselves and create the best sort of environment that the player would then want to choose to play at, right? And we're blessed to be in Dallas. It's not the hardest pitch to say come to such a great market and live in North Texas and all the things that come with living here, just even off the field. And then if we get things right on the field, we feel very strongly that we'll always be in the mix for very talented players.
You mentioned something that's not very talked about is a player first league. I don't know too many American leagues for any sports that is a player first league. And I think that's a very unique, distinguished avenue that USL Super League has taken, because as listening to players and talking to players, they don't always get the choice of where they want to live. And here you have a chance to provide that opportunity, which is amazing to see. As you are getting ready for the second half of your season, which is, I think you guys play 20 matches, if I'm not mistaken. Or is it more?
It's 14. Or sorry, 28. I think of it as 14 in each half. So 28 okay. Total, but 14 total home games across 7 in the fall and 7 in the spring.
So we're moving into your second half, and you all have already played your first 14 and moving into your second 14. You guys will play 7 home and 7 away, I'm assuming. I didn't pay too much attention to how many home and away games you've had this season already. Are you planning on having some exciting things happening for these matches to bring fans to the stadium to come support and watch you all, or ways to be outreach right now that you're working on to get fans excited for the next 14 matches?
Yeah, there's a couple things from the soccer standpoint, and Charlie can probably talk about some of the things off the field as well, but just from a soccer standpoint, roster decisions are being made as we've got players that are on loan with expiring loans, and we have a new market, I should say a different market than the one we had before we started our season. So you've got collegiate players that have now graduated and have eligibility left to go back to college that are interested in going professional. You've got collegiate players that are interested in making the transition right away, that may be underclassmen, if you will, and then you've got quite a few professional players around the world and within our country that have contracts that are expiring or expired. So we can take a good look at that and plug in pieces where we think we need to. And so we hope to announce some exciting roster moves, if you will, in the near future to help get people revved up for the second half. And then we'll obviously need to go through another round of, it's a mid-season preseason, if you will, getting the club back up to to being in mid-season form. We're in communication with a couple of other professional clubs about scheduling some friendlies, training camps, and those sorts of things. It's unclear whether that'll be in our market or on the road. That's still to be determined. But those are some things to look out for. And obviously, to the extent we can put things on social or on Peacock or on any of our media channels to keep our fans engaged, we certainly look to do that.
Awesome. I just find it fascinating that you are the only soccer league in the United States that has followed the rest of the world soccer league's schedules. So I think you guys will all see the advantage of that happening. With that being said, do you find that being the first league and setting the standard now of possibly changing how the U.S. Season soccer structure is structured now, do you see that this may be the future of the soccer scheduling going forward across all leagues in the United States?
Time will tell, right?
Yeah,
it's a great question.
I know this one's kind of out of left field. It just dawned on me.
Not at all. To your point, we sit on the side of the table that was in favor of it as well. I think there are just so many advantages to being aligned with the rest of the world. We saw it first and foremost with the ability to play a friendly against FC Barcelona because we were both in preseason, or it was very early in our season and their preseason. So calendars aligned and we were able to play against one of the premier clubs in the world. And that, to our advantage, will hopefully be an opportunity most summers to get some international clubs here. And then just having our transfer windows aligned with calendars, allowing players to play internationally when they should and hopefully not miss as many club games as maybe they have been on the North American calendar. Being able to send coaches, technical staffs overseas to continue to their own education and not miss training. Like, those are all things that I think long-term are going to help. And even ultimately the transfer market continues to mature and grow and evolve on the women's side to where on the men's side, it's a significant part of most clubs' business. You even see it in our own backyard. FC Dallas has done a fantastic job of FC Dallas. Then having the ability to play elsewhere and earn rewards of the investment they've made in those players. Whether or not other teams will follow suit or other leagues, better said, follow suit, I don't know. I do know we're optimistic that U.S. Soccer will ultimately start a U.S. Open Cup on the women's side, which would be really exciting to have that be played and get deserving female representation in that cup. We're already looking at the CONCACAF Champions League from the women's side, which the NWSL has representation in the Super League, certainly deserves a seat at that table as well. And the Club World Cup and all of those competitions, you know, particularly on the FIFA side, international side, our calendar is going to align better with those as opposed to having to leave midseason to go play in certain things.
That's amazing. Yeah. With the development of you all starting this year, and you made a comment early on that you were one of the last teams announced and hitting the road, so to speak, starting everything. Do you feel next season, and I'm just looking ahead because the first season always has the little hiccups, the next season tends to run a little bit smoother. Do you all see how this season is moving and moving to next season, getting ready for the more exciting fan crowds? Because the more people talk about it, the more fans will be in your stands watching you all play and cheering on the ladies out on the pitch. So do you all see the growth at week from week currently in the stands, and how are you working on getting the word out about you all?
I can take that one. Yeah, it's something we learned this fall, because to Tripp's point, this was such an expedited launch. Like, people didn't know what our club's name was until early mid-May, and we didn't know we couldn't announced that we were even playing at the Cotton Bowl until that time as well. So here we are in December. We've seen a club come to life in 7 months in a lot of ways. And I think we've learned that just from an awareness standpoint, like, you can't rush these things. It just takes time. It takes a commitment to getting out in person. You can't supercharge this as much as you want to buy billboards or pay for social ads or things like that. The in-person stuff is the stuff that ultimately generates the deep relationships and drives people to invest in the club and want to come out and support. And so maybe one day we'll have an organization of hundreds or thousands of people, but we're not there yet. And with finite number of resources, we've been as strategic as possible to get out into the community. And like I said earlier, set up tents and invest time and effort and resources and giveaways and preaching how great DTFC is and how great it is to come to the Cotton Bowl. But that's, I think, naturally with time, year two, year three, year four, this will continue to grow as more people get to experience it themselves. It's been great to just get fan feedback for those that have come out to a match that really enjoyed it, really want to come back. And those are our greatest salespeople, because they'll go out and tell their family and friends how much fun it was to come out to the Cotton Bowl and watch these women play. And you know, as much as we could shout about that in the newspaper or otherwise, first person experiences, you can't replicate that.
That's awesome. I love hearing that. So looking at the next 14 matches that are in your future, 7 home matches, how can fans, I'm going to ask again, because we talked about in the beginning, how can fans find that information out and look to see where you're at, other than we talked about Peacock already, but where can they find your information at?
Yeah, our website's the easiest hub to go to, DallasTrinityFC.com. And from there, you can find all of our social handles, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, right? And most of those handles are also Dallas Trinity FC. It's relatively easy to get engaged, to show your support. And I will also say that the team yesterday was just meeting about what the themes will be for each of those matches in the spring season. And as those get finalized, they'll get announced to the public. And hopefully we can expand our reach to include more groups than we did in the fall. We want to continue to grow, right? I know, for example, like April 19th, we're doing a disability inclusion night or match, I should say. And so that's a big one for us, that we're working with some partners that are passionate about that match. It's certainly something personal for me, as I'm deaf, right? So I'm a big part of the deaf community, and I should say I'm a part of the deaf community, but we want to get everybody engaged and involved and show that there's a place for them. And this is a club that is representative of that. This is something really special about Dallas. Is we are in the middle of a really diverse region. so many different people from this part of the world they're athletic, they're artistic, they're multicultural, right? And so we want to be able to put a product on the field that is welcoming to all of those groups. And part of doing that is like figuring out good themes to help shine some light on that.
Just a random thought to wrap this up. Are your practices open to the public? Can players come out and watch your players practice, and or are they closed to the public, or do you have open practices to the public at certain times of the year to get engagement with the younger players, younger athletes in the community?
Right now, we're not training on our own facility. So when we have our own facility, we'll have the ability to have more leeway with what we do there. There's a lot of professional clubs that do everything closed, and then there's some that do the hybrid. I think we'll probably be more of a hybrid down the road, but for now we're renting, and so we're at the what those parameters are with the facilities we rent out of. But certainly for partners and potential partners, there are opportunities to get engaged, to get behind the scenes, to really get an understanding of what we offer and what they might be partnering up with.
And I know that this is something that's near and dear to my heart because it deals with my kids personally. Do you all will be doing camps at all, or having sessions where open to the public, where they may pay a fee to come to a camp and possibly work with one of your players? Or will you be working with local camps that are already established to do this?
So don't hold my feet to the fire. That's something we have in the works for this spring, nothing finalized, but to your point, I think many in the Metroplex would love to come out and be a part of something like that and get close to the players, get close to our coaches, and continue to develop and all the great things that go from. I'm a byproduct of all the great sidekicks camps growing up, whether it was indoor or outdoor. And I just know I have great memories from those experiences, and we would love to replicate what that was. And likewise, in the summer, I think we're thinking the same thing. It's if we can get it done, we can get it done. We all, I think, internally see the benefit to it. And certainly something fun to announce to come.
Awesome. And I'm going to wrap my favorite question to ask everyone who I interview, and I'm going to just keep it here because I'd like to have you both on and actually talk about your soccer journey another day, if that's fine with you guys. But my favorite question to always ask is, what has been your greatest influence, I'm going to say, in this chapter of your life with running Dallas Trinity?
Oh, man, that is a great question. I am a byproduct of my own professional sports experiences, right? Or sports experiences, better said. But in particular, when I got the opportunity to play minor league baseball, which by no means is the level that these women are playing at, and I was working my way through the system, I was always just so impacted by how the smallest of gestures with a young fan could make a difference. And spending time to sign an autograph, spending time to take a photo, allowing someone to just come on the field and run the bases, like, those create core memories that ultimately could put someone on a trajectory to do something that they maybe had never envisioned doing prior to that experience. And always left an impact with me. And I'm loving seeing that kind of replicated with Dallas Trinity FC to a whole and more influential degree. I can't speak highly enough about the women that are on our team. They realize the moment that they're in, the market that they're in, the impact that they have. Sometimes we have to pull them off the field after games because they're signing so many autographs and taking so many photos. And I think they see themselves in a lot of the young kids that are coming out to these games, and being part of the founding team that created the space to allow for all those things to happen, that was something that didn't exist before Dallas Trinity FC, right? So that's been probably the most influential and impactful thing, to where we want it to keep growing. It's a great start, but to create more of those moments and more of those opportunities is certainly a big driving factor why we do this.
I think there's a couple of touch points in my journey that I can look back on and say, you know, that was, I drew a lot of inspiration from that. And, you know, my father was the first one that I can think of just growing up and playing sports, and he was my coach, and watching him dedicate to helping kids get involved in the game and teaching us how to be better players, but also better individuals. So a lot of lessons learned from him along the way, I think has been one of the biggest inspirations for me. Billy Phillips is another big one. He's someone who's been in and around the game of soccer. He's iconic with or synonymous with professional soccer in Dallas, played for the Sidekicks, coached the Sidekicks, played internationally. He's someone who came over and coached the U.S. Deaf Men's National Team. We had a last-minute need, and he stepped up to take care of that. And and watching him invest in the deaf community and just run with it for almost a decade was inspirational. And then the last piece of this is watching the young kids. It's like you go out and you reflect back on your time. Like for us, Charlie talked about it, it was the Sidekicks. It was going to Sidekicks games and getting amped up at Reunion Arena and watching them in the playoffs and Tattoo throwing his jersey and winning 4v4 tournaments that they would throw. And now watching the kids, hey, come out to a game, or the look on their face when they get to do the walkout with the national anthem, holding a player's hand, or a high five in the high five line. My kids, it's a big passion for me doing this club, because I get to see them look up to the professional women athletes that are out there competing and representing the city of Dallas. And it's a great thing that we've got going. It's a great way to continue to pass forward the inspirational influences that had impacts on all of us.
Hey everyone, I hope you all enjoyed this week's episode of Chat by the Pitch. This week with Charlie and Tripp was great. We got to sit down and talk about the inaugural season of the Super League for Dallas Trinity FC and how great it is to have another women's league in the United States. That is a amazing viewpoint to have, that they're carrying forward. It's a player-centric league, more looking at giving players the options and not so much the club and the league all the authority. That being said, it's a different league than
the other leagues out there. And the more I have sat down and did some research on the leagues, the more I'm impressed with what they're doing and trying to accomplish. Dallas Trinity is amazing. The things that they are pulling off and doing, being number two in the table right now, is awesome. This being the first season and them getting a late start to it just shows the dedication the Neal family has to soccer in our community, especially women's soccer. Now, that being said, if you're looking for tickets, go check out DallasTrinityFC.com and you'll find where you can buy tickets, supporter gear, news updates, and anything else. If you're looking for on social media, just look up Dallas Trinity FC. You'll find all their information. Come out and support your local team. Support these young ladies that are out on the pitch and support your soccer community. Hey everyone, if you guys have enjoyed this podcast, have enjoyed what I've been trying to do, the messages that I'm putting out there, please give me some ratings, some stars on all the podcast sites that you listen to this on. Give me a review, share this, share with others. The more I can make this grow, the more I can continue doing this. I'm really trying to make a difference in our soccer community. So I hope you guys have enjoyed all this. And until next time, I'll see you at the pitch.